Let's cut through all the ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Grace, Grace.
Good, good.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 27th of January 2013, coming to you from our North American studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where we are linking up with the founding president of the Gospel Revolution, the man of whom the dean of a prominent seminary once said, "I don't care what you say, he's a damned handsome devil." From beautiful Houston in the free state of Texas, Mr. Michael Williams.
I don't know where you get all this false information from. But it could have happened, yes.
I do my homework. Would you like me to bring this guy on the show?
Yes. Any compliment that I can get, yes, we want it. Oh, good evening. Good morning. Good afternoon, Bears, and the family. Goodness, it's good to be back with everybody.
And good family to all of you out there as well.
And as I open my mouth with my final breath, a voice like thunder clapped from my chest, the sound of all humanity roaring like a lion shouting through me. Oh, just three little words, the power of that statement shook the earth, as one new man was feared first, and I was creating new heavens and earth. Do you see now what the Lord was given? Condemning everyone so I could redeem all. Since that day there's none accusing you, but the religion bearing my name is just so far from the truth. You are humanity that never was before. You are mankind that's never sinned, 'cause you've never been under the law. But Christianity lied to you, said you're justified by the things you do. It's saying there's a judgment coming soon, so it's judging the work of Calvary too. Saying my blood wasn't good enough, saying I'm coming back to clean up. Saying it's just like it was before, saying I didn't fulfill the law. Well, I got some very good news. The law and the Psalms and the prophets too, they speak about me, not about you. Taught you're a sinner when you've always been righteous. Oh, do you see now what the law was given for? Condemning everyone so I could redeem all.
Gospel Revolution.
Michael, I'm looking at my vintage John Deere thermometer sitting outside my window, and it's registering 10 degrees beneath freezing right now.
Ooh, that's cold.
How are things in beautiful, beautiful Houston?
Oh, it's marvelous. We'll probably be 70 degrees today. We were in the probably the 40s last night, I think. It's bright and it's sunny. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Everybody should live in Houston again, but not last week.
Beautiful Houston. Well, I was watching one of these shows recently, and what the show said was this. The whole population of the entire world could be housed in Texas in the same population density as New York City. Maybe we all ought to try and get there, huh?
You know what? I like things like that. I heard one guy say that the entire population of the U.S. would fit within the city of Jacksonville, Florida, if they were all given 1 square foot. So it gives you a better concept of space and population. Believe me, after some of those drives across the West, it makes you know that we all live in just 2 or 3 places in this country, because you go an awful long way, you don't seem to see a cow.
Oh, I know what you mean, mate. I'm from a country, and we pretty much live the same way. All around the coastal strip and the inside, you can't find anybody. But I love those stories of statistics, which is why I always say that if all of the people who had ever gone to sleep in church had been laid end to end, they'd have been a lot more comfortable. Hey, what's the most interesting thing happened to you this week, Michael? And can we stay away from a losing weight and repainting the nursery? You know those things, can we?
No, we can't.
Okay, what is it?
Today is my 30th day into my new way of living. I can't even call it a diet. It's I'm learning to eat nutritiously. I'm off of processed foods. I'm off of sugar. I am off of canned foods. I'm doing my cardio. I am down over 6 inches in my waist in 30 days. I'm up 6 pounds in muscle weight in 30 days. I feel good. And one of these days, I'm going to look good too. So.
And that was Mike Williams' interesting week, family. And you wonder why we don't do this show more than once a week.
You get tired of hearing from me, right?
Oh, boy. We have an annual winter conference coming up, Michael. Gee, when is it? It's only a strike. It'll be over by the time this goes to air.
Nope. No, this comes out on Thursday, and I leave on Friday.
Okay, so it's not January the 27th. I've obviously called this the wrong show. That's a editing job there. So, January 25 through 27 in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and the seminar is called
Grace.
Say it again.
Grace.
You sound like someone calling out fire in a crowded movie theater.
Well, in this world, we need to cry out grace, like fire in a theater, man, because we need to clear these religious institutions out by going in instead of yelling fire, yelling grace. And I'm telling you, if the Christian world ever understands grace, the church world will empty out. And we will find the church, which is all of those people that are in those places who think those places are the church. I think it's a good day coming. I have no apologies for the number of churches that the gospel revolution has closed, and it has been many. You know, I never set out to do that. I've never recommended that one person even stop going to church. No one will find the recording where I've ever recommended that someone stop going to church, nor will they find any place where I have said our agenda is to close churches. It's just not there. However, am I ashamed of the fact that the teaching of the gospel has caused many people to reevaluate things and come to a point to where that church is absolutely shut down? You're not going to get any apologies from me.
To make reservations, call the hotel at 1-800-661-9566 and tell them you're there with Grace Conferences and get the rate that we have arranged for you to get. And we're looking forward to seeing you there. For some of you, you won't hear this before the conference, so this is going out. You've either just missed or you've just finished up the Great Grace Concert. The Grace Grace Conference.
Yes. Yes, yes.
You got me doing it now.
I know.
Gospel Revolution.
You should have that mail. I sent it to the wrong address. So don't worry about the question. I'll come back to that question. And may I produce you saying this little soundbite?
What little soundbite?
The one that I just emailed you.
Oh, you want me to look at that?
Yes, please, sir.
Oh, okay.
So hard working with this man, honestly.
Got to buy his books and send him to school, too. Christianity says, through the death of Christ, we are made righteous. If all you need is Jesus. And in Christianity...
No.
They will...
Nope. Christianity says, through the death of Christ, we are made righteous. If... All you need is Jesus and...
Oh, okay. I see how it's written there. Okay. Christianity says, through the death of Jesus, we are made righteous. If all you need is Jesus. And in Christianity, they will tell you...
All you need is Jesus and... Like Jesus plus.
I'm going to have you read this, okay? Because I'm not getting that.
What happened was when I copied and pasted this into the email, it took all of the formatting and put it all over the bloody place. So,
how about you read it? It's going to cut. It'll cut to the chase easier. You're going to be schooling me on this for the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, but it makes great listening for our folks. They think you and I are just so polished. Let's just disabuse them of their...
Oh, let's not. Nobody needs to be amused that much.
Christianity says, through the death of Christ, we are made righteous if all you need is Jesus. And in Christianity, they'll tell you, Jesus died for the sins of the world, but... And if you ask the average Christian whether somebody else is going to heaven, they'll say, maybe. And every single one of those ifs, ands, buts, and maybes depends not on what the Bible says, but on what your particular brand of religion says. And in Christianity, there are 40,000 brands. Hey, what flavor would you like? In the gospel of grace and peace, there are no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes.
Absolutely. Yes. I think the most fascinating thing of the gospel is that it eliminated if and but or maybe. Now, the first time that I realized that was about, I think, a couple of years ago that I actually was conscious of it. And since then, I've said, at least up until this point, I have not had to say if and but or maybe. But after 2 years, I'm beginning to think I'm not going to have to say if and but or maybe. It was just so interesting to me, Barris, that as I was listening to all of these people interviewed, it didn't make any difference whether it was Joel Osteen or Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham. Every one of them that I've heard interviewed, especially by Larry King, I liked Larry King interviewing these guys because he got more ifs, ands, buts, and maybes out of these people than they had words. He would pin them on Christian doctrine. And the only thing they could do is smile and say, if and but or maybe.
He used to say, I'm a Jew. Am I going to hell? In your estimation, am I going to hell? And no one would say yes.
And that's what their doctrine preached. And they would conveniently to go, well, only God is the judge. It's like, well, why are you the judge then every other day and every other hour except when you're on Larry King's show? Why is it you're the one who judges? That'd be great if you preached that. That would be fantastic if you preached that. That would have been fantastic if when those buildings and towers went down on 9/11, if Franklin Graham would have said, only God knows. At least he would have said, only God knows. Instead, he came out and said 80% of them went to hell. He knew which ones went to hell. He knew that every gay person in there went to hell.
Was he on Larry King then, or where was he that he was free to talk about that?
I think this was on one of the morning news shows that he actually said this soon after the 9/11. I don't think he was on – this was not on Larry King.
These people find it a lot easier to go back to their church and poo-poo Larry King and and say things like, he talks about hell, but if he only knew he was going there. But they can't say it to his face.
Oh. No, they cannot. But I think they can't say it because there's something inside of them that knows it's not true.
Is that cowardice?
It's cowardice, and I think it is your heart is kinder than your doctrine.
Well, let's think about that for a minute. If that's true, why do they preach it in church?
Because that's where you make money. That's where you get paid to do what you're saying. That's where you get paid to say the things that you're saying. And that's where that it stirs up excitement. And it's going to stir up controversy and criticism that is unwanted if they say it publicly. And I know that it bothers people to say that I have a respect for Fred Phelps of the church that pickets the funeral homes and all of this.
Westboro Baptist.
Yes, Westboro Baptist. Now, I don't respect what this man does at all. But compared to the rest of Christianity, as far as saying what you think behind your pulpit and in public and in front of news cameras, he says the same thing in both places, as far as I know. He doesn't change the story. He doesn't become mealy-mouthed. I disagree with the man to the nth degree. But you see, Fred Phelps, this must be said, Fred Phelps is what all of them would sound like if they would be honest.
So he's bigoted, he's politically incorrect, he is unloving. I mean, anyone who goes to picket a soldier's funeral or even, and they were going to go and picket the this Sandy Hook.
They're going to do that, yes.
They're cowards, I believe, because when they're confronted with superior force, they don't want to show up. But at least they've got one characteristic lacking in much of religion, and that is they're honest, is what you're saying.
Yes, they're honest about what they teach. I doubt very seriously that honesty runs very deep. But at least they take pride in saying the same vulgar, horrible, spiteful, judgmental things behind the pulpit. They take pride in saying it in public. Now, what is the difference between Fred Phelps and these other guys? I'll guarantee you, get any one of these guys, aforementioned and all the others above and around them, and put them on the spot, and they will not answer these questions. They will not look a Jewish man in the face and tell him, if you do not accept Jesus and you died right now, you are going to hell. That is what they preach, but that is not what they will say to these people, especially on a set when they're trying to hopefully promote their books and promote their material and to get everybody to listen, and they won't stand by their doctrine in front of these places.
So I guess you can't get honesty from those kind of preachers. Oh, hang on. Didn't Jesus say you can't get grapes from thorn bushes?
Yes, can't get grapes from thorn bushes, that's for sure.
And they're coming in good woolen suits, sheep's clothing.
Yes, absolutely.
Gospel Revolution.
I spend the day with my radio on. I love to sing along with the songs they play. It makes the whole day seem like fun. I spend the day with my radio on.
Why don't you spend your day with the radio on? Every day it's different, every hour it changes. But you could be listening to the Gospel Revolution radio station right now at gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. That is gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. Listen up to Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Go on, spend your day with the radio on.
Hey, Mike, did you see where the Essary brothers, now they're the guys that wrote that book, The Hour We Least Expected, did you see where they've released their book on Kindle for free for a week? Sorry, I should say they've released their book on Amazon for free. You can go to Amazon.com, download their book for absolutely free, nothing, gratis, zero, zilch. Download a Kindle application from Amazon, put it on your PC, put it on your computer, put it on your Android phone, put it on your iPhone, put it anywhere you like, and you can read this book for free. This is a great book. I've read it, and it's one of the best researched books. This book falls into what theologians would call apologetics, and it presents the gospel of grace and peace with such clarity. I recommend everybody go and get your copy today for free. They hope to give away 500 during the whole week. They're up to 946 in the US alone and a few more around other countries. This thing looks like being a pandemic of truth.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. I always promote these guys' book. Anybody that's written anything that is understanding of the gospel, I've always promoted it.
In Amazon today, they are number one in theology and in apologetics. Or is it theology and apologetics? Who knows? 22 in Christianity, 25 in religion and spirituality, and 93 amongst all non-fiction Kindle books. How cool is that? I was wrong. They're up to now 1,162 downloads and still counting. And this is just, gosh, we're only up to about 27 hours.
Oh, that's wonderful. We need all this information out there that we can possibly get. And these guys have put together a good book that gives a good understanding of what the hour is, the day of the Lord, the hour of the Lord. And it is a good read, and people should take advantage of this free offer they've got. Goodness gracious. Get it and pass it on to some friends.
Great advice.
Gospel Revolution.
And right now, I actually have Steve Essary on the line. He's in Johnson City, Illinois, I think, aren't you, Steve?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you, buddy. What's Johnson City like? Is that a big old metropolis up there?
Oh, yeah, it is. We've got, probably 3,000 or 4,000 people here, so...
Wow.
It's huge.
How many traffic lights?
There's one, and I can see it from my house.
I came from a town of 3,000 in Australia, but we didn't have a traffic light. You got a traffic light.
Exciting. Yeah.
One Baptist church or two?
Oh, there's actually many Baptist churches here in town.
3,000 people.
Every corner.
I was down in Huntsville, Alabama, just past there in Cullman, Alabama, and they were telling me that town, it was hard actually to know what the truth was, because between Huntsville, which is only a few mile up the road, and Cullman, they both claimed to be the city with the most churches per square mile in America. I mean, what is this, some kind of competition?
Yeah, I think it is. We have a lot of churches.
Oh, well. Tell me, Steve, about the book.
All right. Well, we started writing it in April of 2010. It was on our hearts to do for many years before that, but gosh, it just seemed like such a big undertaking. And, you know, I didn't tell anybody that we were even considering writing a book because I didn't know how long it was going to take or if I would even, you know, have the energy to complete it. But it took a year and a half. Most of that time was spent just revising. I mean, we had the content of what we wanted to say down in the first couple months, but then we really took a lot of time to make sure that we said it in the most simple way possible.
What is the biggest single criticism you've received about it?
That would depend on which side of the fence you're on. If you're on the universalist side of the fence, then the biggest criticism would be probably that it was written too simple. If you're on the traditional Christianity side of the fence, then it's just going to be that we're crazy and false prophets and teachers and such like that. So,
false prophets, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah, I've received that label I don't know how many times.
False prophets? What did you prophesy?
I don't think we really prophesied much, but I get the scriptures quoted at us, you know, in the last days there'll be blah 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 blah, and I'm always counted as one of those people.
Oh, you're one of those people, the ones our elders taught us to look out for.
That's right.
Well, I was listening to a false prophet earlier today on the show. We listened to Pat Robertson saying that Mitt Romney was going to win this election.
Oh, there you go.
And he was telling Benny Hinn, and Benny Hinn said, how do you know that? And he said, well, the Lord told me.
Well, there you go.
Have you ever noticed, Steve, anyone says to you, oh, the Lord told me, there is nowhere more for that conversation to go. There is like, what, I'm gonna talk out against the Lord now?
Well, you know, Jesus did talk in parables, so, you know, maybe God talks in parables too, and, you know, maybe Mitt Romney did win. You know, maybe the best thing for his life would be not being our president. Maybe he doesn't realize that he just got the biggest blessing of his life by avoiding that job.
Boy, you can put a shine on anything, can't you?
I try.
So, if there was any one point that you wanted to make in that book, just one, that you could say in one sentence, what would it be?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one. I think the most important thing for me is that people come away from the book understanding not only that they are completely and totally loved and accepted by God, but that they are also now free to completely love and totally accept other people. If people could walk away from my book accepting life as it comes and accepting other people, that to me is the greatest part of it. Peace between men is what I would love to see.
Steve, you were making good money out of this book, and now you've just gone and started giving the sucker away. What's with that? Don't you need the money?
Well, first, I'm not making good money with this book. I didn't write it to make good money. I wrote it to spread this message. Second of all, it takes a lot of skill to market. You know, I thought that writing a book would be the hard part, but it turns out that year and a half was easy compared to getting the word out. And one of the things that I've learned through my studying on how to market this book is if, you know, you give it away, people will read it and might start talking about it. So that's my biggest goal with this giveaway, is just to get people talking and see what happens next. Not that I, you know, wouldn't love for the money to pour in. That would be wonderful. But that's not the main point.
Now, what day is this of the free giveaway? When did you start this, bud?
We started it on Monday, and it ends on Friday.
Today is Wednesday, so it's been going two full days, and it's about halfway through Wednesday now. So 2.5 days, what are your numbers?
The last I checked, we were over 1,500, so which far exceeds what we expected. I was just hoping that, you know, somehow we could get maybe 100 per day and hit 500 by the end of the week. And whenever I woke up Monday morning, my brother had already texted me and let me know that we were at like 150 or 160, and we hit 1,000 before 10 o'clock that night. So it's been a pretty exciting week for us so far.
Is there any particular place that most of these are being downloaded, or are they? Is it a, kind of a geographical mishmash or what?
Actually, Amazon does have separate websites for different parts of the world. And so the one that we are looking at the most, obviously, is the U.S., and that is where the most are coming from. We've had around 1470, 80, 90, something like that. And those are all in the U.S., and then it's like 10 here, 12 there in the rest of the world. So,
any signs of slowing down at all?
Yeah, it slowed down a little bit. I mean, we were at 1,000 before 10 o'clock Monday night, and we've added 500 since then. So it is slowing down.
Now tell me, Steve, one of the things that has really intrigued me is understanding people's filters and how filters work, and why we get sucked into the corporate logic and the party line and outsource our thinking. And in that whole thing, we tend to get, or it seems to me that people tend to get frightened of leaving, frightened of believing differently, frightened of coming out, and or frightened of asking questions.
Yeah, well, such was the case for myself. You know, if you've read the book, you know the story that, you know, I was confronted by a friend who, you know, made the suggestion that she thought that, you know, maybe Jesus had saved everyone and everyone was going to heaven. And she had been listening to some guy named Mike Williams. I had never heard of him. So I'm like,
no, me either. Is he on TBN?
I think he is. No.
I think I might have heard that. Is he with Benny Hinn?
Possibly. I don't know. I've heard the name before now, but, you know, I'm just not sure. But, you know, at the time, I had never heard it, and I got actually quite upset with her. I stood up. I started pacing around the room. Steam was probably rolling out of my ears, and I proceeded to tell her just how crazy she was and how dangerous her words were, and how I was going to, by the end of the night, write her a 3-to-5-page essay proving she was wrong. So, yeah, I was extremely afraid of what she was saying. And as a matter of fact, that very night, you know, I opened up my Bible and I looked at a few verses that she gave me to look at. I refused the CDs that she tried to give me of this Mr. Mike Williams and his teachings. I said, there's no way I'm listening to anything like that. So obviously there was some fear showing there, and, you know, I proceeded to look at what she gave me. And that very night, I just kept getting more and more, upset, because everywhere I looked, I saw things that, suggested that she might be right. You know, I closed my Bible after 3 hours and I couldn't pick it back up until, you know, the next evening. And yeah, long story short, over the next several months, man, I went through the transition of my life, and it was highly emotional, highly scary, but in the end, completely and totally set me free. I'd never give up that day for anything.
Now, you have been going down this track for a little while now. If you were talking to people, and we have a lot of folks in the Gospel Revolution who want to share this with other people that they love and that they know, sometimes family members who've been in mainline religions for decades upon decades. What is the best way to share this with someone?
Well, there's two different ways that you can share this message. If you have somebody specific in mind, then I would choose the slow, stealthy approach. My own approach is probably not advisable whenever you are looking just to change one specific person. And by my own approach, I mean the way that I share the good news on Facebook. You know, I like a very in-your-face, hands-on approach. I scream it basically everywhere I go, everywhere that I can. And I like to do that. It causes a lot of arguments, causes a lot of people to, you know, to voice their opinions. And I found that whenever we have these big conversations on Facebook, a lot of people don't comment, but I have met people out in public that have approached me and said, you know what? I first thought you were crazy whenever I saw what you were saying, but after reading these arguments, I have since changed my mind and I want to get a copy of your book. So although arguing isn't always easy or fun, in the long run, people read those things and change their minds because of them. Now, if you're trying to change somebody's mind specifically, then, yeah, you're going to want to take a little bit more of a tiptoe approach.
Jackie Barnard says, he calls it that stealthy gospel, rides again. He wrote a poem, and it is good. It's true, though, that this gospel changes you from the inside. I mean, all of the things that in Christianity we were told that the gospel should do, this gospel actually does it, and does it from the inside out without you even knowing it's happening, it seems to me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm sorry, back to the question you asked before. I think one of my favorite places to go with new people that I just began to talk to is Matthew chapter 5. It's become one of my favorite arguments. In Matthew 5, Jesus teaches us to forgive everyone no matter what. As a matter of fact, if someone, you know, punches you in the face or slaps your cheek, just turn the other cheek to him. You know, forgive everyone no matter what. He actually says to accept everybody. No matter what, he says, if, you know, don't just accept everyone as you would, or don't just accept your brother only, but accept everyone as a brother. Well, now, if God, you know, is teaching us, or Jesus is teaching us to love and accept and forgive everyone, no matter what, and in the end of that chapter, you'll see that he says, and be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, that tells me that God loves and forgives and accepts everyone no matter what. Why would he ask us to forgive everyone if he doesn't do the same? He never said, forgive those who ask for your forgiveness. He said, forgive everybody no matter what, and if you can do this, you'll be like God. Now, that does not line up with anything I ever heard in any traditional church.
And to do otherwise would make him a God that says, do as I say, don't do as I do.
Exactly. It just makes no sense that you could call a God like that a leader. A leader, you know, doesn't use that term, doesn't say, do as I say, not as I do. You know, a leader sets the example, you know, in hopes that you'll follow that example. A slave driver, on the other hand, you know, might say that.
That's an interesting comment. Well, Steve, we're hoping that you make just a bunch of sales this week. I know that they're non-profitable sales, but we hope that you make a bunch of downloads this week. And is there anything else you'd like to say to the folks listening to us on the Gospel Revolution podcast?
Oh, well, first I'd like to say thank you very much to everyone that has bought books. I think that you guys you know, have probably contributed to most of the sales that we've had so far, and we definitely appreciate that. And to anyone who hasn't got the book, definitely take advantage of this offer. I wish it could be free all the time. Maybe someday it will be, but as for now, it's free till Friday, so please jump on that. Recommend it to everyone you can, and thank you very much.
And if there was one thing you could say to that, what was his name again, the fellow that...
Oh, that Mike Williams?
Mike Williams.
Yeah.
I'll have to Google that later and find out who he is.
Yeah, check him out.
But if I ever knock into the fellow, what should I tell him from you?
Well, tell him I said thank you very much because he got to the person that got to me. And for that, I'm forever thankful and grateful. And I appreciate everything he's done for us. Yeah, it turns out I have listened to some of his stuff since then, and he's a pretty smart guy.
Steve, your brother is Aaron, right? Stephen Aaron?
Yep.
Where can people find you on the vast interweb?
Yeah, well, you can find us at thehourweleastexpected.com. There's actually a contact form on the last page. You can fill out if you want to contact us. You can also search me on Facebook. I accept all friend requests. Just search my name, Steve Essary, Essary. Or if you just Google The Hour We Least Expected or my name, you'll find us pretty fast.
I saw a lady the other day on Facebook, and she said she sounded like a plant. I think she might have been just a shill that you guys have sort of planted around the place. But she said something about you're her nephew and you're a very good boy and you always shined your shoes and brushed your teeth. I forget what she said, but it was like, hello.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think that was my Aunt Kathy, actually.
It was.
She's a sweetheart. Yep.
Well, Steve Essery, please say hi to Aaron for us and to Aunt Kathy. Hello? And thank you so much for joining us today. Very much appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Barris.
That was Steve Essery, one of the authors, along with his brother Aaron, of the book The Hour We Least Expected, which right now is free. This PowerCast goes to air on, let me see, Thursday. There's still one more day. There's 24 hours. If you're listening to this Friday, for crying out loud, get to Amazon, get that book. It's just download it to your PC and read it. It will be one of the finest reads you've ever had.
Gospel Revolution.
Hey, Marcel Roos has got the Gospel Revolution radio happening really, really well right now out of the Netherlands. And you can get that by going to our Facebook page and just clicking on any of his links. It'll take you straight to the Gospel Revolution Radio. 24/7, 24/7, you can be hearing the gospel of grace and peace.
It must be true, 'cause I heard it on the radio. It must be true, it must be true.
Anything there yet?
No.
Darn, AOL runs like the government, mate. They just do it in their own sweet time. Don't give a rip. Hey, while you're waiting for that to come through, can I play you something that this happened a couple of weeks ago, actually, while we were doing the book, and I just put off putting this to air because I wanted to question this one. Pat Robertson.
Oh, my.
Pat Robertson. I mean, you go to YouTube and just look up Pat Robertson, and there is so... And this guy, he opens his mouth to change feet, I'm pretty sure, mate. It's too funny. Wife-beating advice from Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson rips Tebow trade. Hopes Manning gets what's coming or whatever. Excuses Petraeus. Legalized marijuana. He's just got... I mean, if there's anything Pat Robertson knows, mate, it's how to get a headline. This guy is good. So, here we go. Benny Hinn interviews Pat Robertson. Got to get past the ad, I think, and then it'll play. It's only 31 seconds. I really want you to... I want your opinion on this.
Oh, okay.
So, let me just set the scene here. This is shot on the studio set of This Is Your Day, Pat Robertson's daily show on TBN. And he has Benny Hinn on the show with him, and he leans forward and he says this.
He's going to win. Romney will win the election.
You believe that?
I absolutely believe
that. What makes you believe that?
Because the Lord told me.
Well, that's why I'm glad to know. I wasn't sure how you knew. Really, the Lord said that to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I told Mitt a long time ago. I called him. I said, listen, I've been in prayer. Number one, you're going to win the nomination. Number two, you're going to win the general election. He said, well, what can I do for you? I said, well, give me a seat on the platform during your inauguration. Give me a ticket to your inauguration. Recently, the Lord said he's going to have a second term. So I told him, I said, listen, there will be trillions of dollars coming into the economy when you're elected. Trillions of dollars.
So you do see the economy turning.
Oh my!
If he wins the election,
there'll be a flood of money that's on the sidelines into business, into real estate, and there should be a huge boom. The stock market ought to boom. Everything ought to boom. I would think, if he's elected. If on the other hand,
but the Lord told you he will be.
Yes.
I trust God's voice.
Well, we'll see. But
does this? Who holds these people to account? I mean, who is out there? I want to know, you know, like Lance Armstrong and the doping thing with with cycling, right?
Yes.
I want to know who is the committee that says to these prophets, hang on, that's crap. You just prophesied something. And what would happen to Pat Robertson in Jesus' day?
Yeah, well, the only committee on that is me. Goodness gracious, we point these things out every time. There's no one in the Christian community that will call these things out, it seems. I'm sure they're out there somewhere, but they certainly aren't very vocal about it. Goodness, how many times do we have to go through this with Pat Robertson? just how many times do we have to suffer these things? And then him talk about how serious speaking in the name of the Lord is, and that God would even strike a person dead for being a false prophet. And then him go on his show and cackle and giggle his way through an explanation as to why, you know, I guess somebody, everybody gets something wrong sometimes. Well, I'm sorry, you can't teach both ends of this. You can't teach this the way that he does and have both ends at the same time. But isn't that what Christianity really is? It is always filled with if, ands, buts, or maybes.
What does Christianity say, Mike, about this verse?
You will know them by their fruits. What does Christianity usually say about that verse?
Oh, well, they're talking about people's morals. That's what they are saying. Well, you know, Jesus said you'd know them by their fruit, and that's throughout Christianity. I don't know of a Christian group that does not aspire to that term in that context. And Jesus making that comment, he was talking about prophets, about people prophesying. And as he was talking about people prophesying, he says, "For you shall know them by their fruit." He wasn't talking about Christians. For number one, there weren't any at the time. And the other thing is that he was making reference to prophets and people who made false prophecies. He said, you'd know them by their fruit. So we know Pat Robertson by his fruit, based on the verse that he has used out of context to judge everybody on the planet. Now, what do we judge? Are we judging Pat Robertson? No, we're judging his prophecy. And we judge this prophecy to have been false. It's amazing how God only speaks on things that are in these people's favor. He speaks their opinions. It's really weird how he does that. There was none of them from the Christian world prophesying that Obama was going to win. They were all prophesying that Romney was going to win, if they were prophesying anything at all. But hey, that's politics and religion, and they do make very weird bedfellows.
Now, in Jesus' life, when he said, take heed that you don't do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, who was he talking to?
They were the religious leaders of the day. This is who Jesus was teaching about at the time. People who were Pharisees or had a tendency to want their religious deeds to be known before people.
And so at the beginning of Matthew 7, he says to these same people, he says, judge not that you be not judged. And then we come down to this verse, and he says to them, narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, modern Christianity calls that the world going to hell, or the world, the few that are going to choose the way to life because it's narrow. But in the very next verse, he says to these same religious people, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. I gotta admit that Benny Hinn has some of the nicest woolen suits that I have ever seen. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. And then he asks this stupid question. He says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Well, I'm inclined, on the basis of Pat Robertson and Benny Hinn, I'm kind of inclined to say, yes, they do, actually.
Yeah. They are trying to gather grapes among thorns, if what Jesus said was true. If people prophesy things that are not true, that they are thorn bushes. I think you just came up with the Jesus' description of some of our friends. They are thorn bushes. But you know what? They are righteous and holy and perfect thorn bushes in the eyes of God.
Oh, that's good. Now, I have friends, and these friends are still moved by and attracted to, and I think most people are. This is just not my friends. But most people are attracted to people who say, look, there's a bad thing that's going to happen, but you can escape if you do this particular special mm-hmm. thing. Or there is a good thing to be had, and I can make sure you have it if you do such and such. What would you say to those folks?
Well, they don't know the truth when they are subject to those things. The thing that causes humanity to be subject to those who are misleading others is a basic lack of understanding of the gospel, once you begin to understand the elimination of guilt and judgment, there is no way, there is nothing in the gospel that would leave you subject to such a thing. When I hear that someone is subject to those things, I know I'm talking to someone who does not know the gospel. And here's the amazing thing about this, Barris, is I don't go around teaching people who to listen to and who not to listen to. I never do that. I don't. If somebody's telling me, oh, Brother Mike, I was listening to so-and-so, and man, it really blessed me, and I know that what they have to say is, at least 99% of it anyway, is contrary to the gospel, I don't correct them and say, oh, you better watch out for that. You better not listen to that. I don't ever do that. Never do I ever caution somebody about listening to someone, because if that's where they are, they don't need a caution from me about the cautions from them. They need to have a revelation of the gospel in their heart that is strong enough to eliminate the need for yielding to those type of things. Now, I listen to wise voices. I listen to wise people. I'm surrounded by wise people on my staff and many people in the gospel revolution. I ask questions. I'll call people and ask them questions because I want to learn. And I want to understand things. There's things I don't understand. And to do that, you have to ask questions instead of just sitting around and being told what to think. Barris, I tell you, people who are self-righteous don't ask questions because they're afraid they will be perceived as not knowing everything. I don't understand that. I go around desperate to understand all the time.
Couldn't there be another reason? Couldn't there be, for example, I have committed my life to live it this way. I've spent my money, I've spent my energies, I've invested myself in this particular church, and that's the church line, it's a church doctrine, it's a party line, it's the corporate logic, and if I break from that, I've got to face the fact that I've thrown my life away.
Yes, but what is that? That's self-righteousness.
But it's also convenient. I mean, it's also...
All self-righteousness is convenient, very much so. It's way too convenient. It's like fast food. It's convenient.
So when
you can get it anytime, anywhere.
Okay. So when people say, well, that's what my church teaches and that's what my pastor says and therefore it must be true and that's what I believe, what's actually happening in that?
Well, when that happens, Barris, we are looking to others to think for us. We don't want to sit down and take the time. We don't want to look at these things for ourselves. We simply want someone else to tell us what to do, what to think, what to say, how to say it. And once that's all done, we find a place of self-righteousness to settle into. And it's not as comfortable as it seems, folks. Let me tell you, as uncomfortable as it seems to think that you might have to think a different way than you've ever thought your entire life, it is way more uncomfortable than where you are if you only knew what it was like to be free. Free to think for yourself.
What about my friends? I'm going to lose my friends. And they're going to know that I don't believe like them anymore, and they're going to reject me. What do I, you know, where do I get a new bunch of friends in a short period of time? I'm too old to change that.
That is a frightening thing to think that, you know, where I've gone to church, where my parents and grandparents went to church, and if I change my mind, they're going to reject me. But my question is, why in the world would you hang around people who would reject you because you changed your mind?
Because I like their food, I enjoy their company, I like playing a game of cards with them, and it's easy. I don't have to change anything.
Thing of it is that's where you're comfortable. I recommend you stay there.
Okay. All right, then.
Gospel Revolution.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Well, who is this on the telephone? Hello?
Hello.
Who have we got here?
Oh, this is Pastor Ted from Decatur, Alabama.
G'day, Ted. How are you? How's Miss Pat?
Oh, she's lovely. Talked to her just about 15 minutes ago at the office, and she's getting a all situated for the tax season, her business, so they're really, really busy right now.
Well, it's lovely to hear from you, Pastor Ted. Let me guess, you got a question?
Yeah, I've got a lot of questions, but we'll do them one at a time. But it has to do, actually, goes along with last week's PowerCast on the end times and this, that, whatever. But the questions that I get asked, and I know if the few people that I know would like answers, then there must be many, many more.
There's an old saying that goes, don't think any question is too stupid because everyone else is hoping that someone else will ask it.
Oh, for 20 years I've said to people, the only bad question is one you don't ask.
There you go.
You know, so there we go. But, they always refer to the open the Gospels where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So the question is, when is that going to happen, or what does it mean? Can you explain this? I said, well, sure I could, but I'll get someone professional to explain it for you.
Well, we better go get the professional. Hey, Mike, you heard the question. What do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever addressed this before, but let's go for it. Pastor Ted, thank you so much for calling in and giving us your question. It's always good to hear from our pastor at large there in Alabama. We love you and appreciate you so much, you and Pat also. It was so good to see your face, goodness, when we were there in Alabama. And thank you for attending and being such a great part of the Gospel Revolution. But we won't tell everybody that you are, just for safety's sake. Anyway, thank you so much. If Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that place would have been in himself, because the only place that we are told that we wind up is in Christ. And when Jesus went to the cross, he actually explained the process a bit, that he was destroying the law, the hostility, the enmity that was between God and man and between Jew and Gentile, that he might make in himself of the two one new man. This is not a future event to be had. This is, a historical event of this place that was prepared for us by Jesus, and we have been placed securely in this wonderful place called in Christ. The Christian community teaches that the only people who are in Christ are those who've had the opportunity to hear, to believe, to obey, follow Christian ministry, to find the will of God, many qualifications. But Jesus put no qualifications on being in him other than his will. And it was his will that he would prepare a place for us, and that in himself would be that place that we would dwell. And it is the place where the entire human race has dwelt ever since that day 2,000 years ago when the body of Christ was raised to the cross.
Michael, something interesting about that word, and I'm talking about that word mansions, where I'll go and prepare a mansion for you. And in the same discussion, in exactly the same teaching, in the same context, in just a few breaths later, here's what Jesus said. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him.
Mm.
And that word abode it comes from a word that of which mansion might be one possible interpretation, but also just a place to continue or a permanent address, very much like John says, is it in 15, when he goes on, only in the next chapter, to say, abide in me and I abide in you.
Right.
So he's talking about this whole concept of abiding, and can I suggest that he's not talking about a pie in the sky when you die, although that would be kind of nice, but he's talking about steak on our plate while we wait, in as much as we are in him, he is in us, we are abiding together.
Yes, absolutely. I think that is the full understanding of this, Barris. This powerful thing that happened 2,000 years ago has been barely acknowledged by, even by the Christian community, this issue of being in Christ. And even when it is acknowledged, it is only for a select few. And even amongst believers, you're not really sure you're really abiding in Christ, because if you're abiding in Christ, then you're going to have a certain amount of fruit to prove that you are abiding in the vine. And that if you're not, then you're not abiding in Christ. So let's cut through all the ifs, ands, buts, and maybes.
Say that again, Mike.
Let's cut through all the ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Grace.
good.
And here we are. If the term is used as mansion, let me put it this way. You're there. You live in this mansion. You live. Oh, my gosh. I just say it and I get thrilled. I feel like I'm living in a mansion. I'm telling you, I am in a mansion of grace. I'm in this mansion of Christ. I'm in this mansion of the kingdom of God. Why am I looking for some other place? I don't know what the afterlife is going to look like. I don't know why I would need to know what a totally different life is going to look like before I get there. I don't know why I would need to know that. I just know the God that has done all of this is the one who's in charge of that. And if he did such a great job with this, I think he's going to do an even greater job with the next. I don't think anything could be done better than what was done at the cross for the human race. So we abide. You're exactly right. We abide. We are in this mansion of grace.
Have we all been called?
Yes, we've all been called. We've all been chosen.
Well, here's what Paul says about the people who are called. He says in 1 Corinthians 7:24, he says, "But brothers, let every man wherein he is called, therein mansion with God, abide with God."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to people in this here life, not the next life.
Yes, not the next life. Yeah, I think that's the other big fallacy about this, is that any of this is talking about a hereafter. This is talking about the way we should live today. It's the same way that the Christian community has put off the kingdom of God is something yet to come. The kingdom of God is not just here. We live in it. Now, how much you enjoy and experience it really is up to whether or not your brain is able to conceive it. But it's real. It is real. And the kingdom of God is only a mind change away. The kingdom of God is only one mindset change away.
Pastor Ted, that's a great question, and it's made me look up a few other things that I had not considered. Paul says in Hebrews 7:24, he says, "But this man, because he mansions forever, has an unchangeable priesthood," talking about Jesus. "This man mansions forever." Who on earth does he mansion with?
Wow, that's awesome. You're good, Barris. I think I should be interviewing you.
So, I'd have to pay you then. I don't know if I've got the money to do that. Hey, this abiding business, it's a fascinating topic that Pastor Ted has raised. And this pie in the sky when you die business is very attractive, and it's very good at keeping the sheep in line, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially when it's held in lieu of.
Oh, you don't get it until, yeah.
Yeah, it's in lieu of several things that you must do here. And, of course, one of those is to obey leadership.
Well, that would be that would qualify as an if, wouldn't it?
That's an if. Yeah, even the hereafter is an if, much less the here and here.
Maybe even a maybe for some.
Yes, and more likely a but.
Talk to me about those things in lieu of.
Well, in lieu of believing, in lieu of obeying, in lieu of attending church, in lieu of tithing, in lieu of living a certain degree of moral acceptance in whatever church you might be in lieu of submission to the pastor, in lieu of obedience to God's will, in lieu of finding God's purpose for your life. The in lieu of with Christianity never ends. It just depends on which group you're in. With the Church of Christ, it's in lieu of baptism, water baptism. In Catholicism, it is in lieu of communion. Everything's in lieu of something. It is always held out as something that is possible if, and, but, or maybe. The gospel has no if, ands, buts, or maybes in it.
So if you do what our denomination says you should, and you sing from the right colored hymn books, but you don't go to that other denomination, you'll maybe get a mansion.
You are turning into a good Christian, Bears.
Dang! Could I get paid for that, do you reckon?
We can open a church tomorrow.
Let's make money.
I think it would do everyone a lot of good and a lot of fun just to go in and look up this Greek term of mansions and abide and the abode and do a study on it. My goodness, look what Barris is finding for us here just off the cuff. This is how easy this is. This is not rocket science. It's easy. It's so easy. It is easier than a recipe for apple pie. It's just easy. It's easy to do. I mean, here we are finding wonderful things with Barris running through this definition and finding where that is found in other places, proving that Jesus was not talking about a future event.
There is no need anymore to wonder what the Bible is saying. We don't have to. All I'm doing is looking up a program on a computer, and as I look these things up, I can punch in the Strong's number and with a G in front of it, meaning Greek, so it's Greek 3306, and it'll tell me every single instance of this in the New Testament, Old Testament, wherever I want to look. And remember a couple of weeks ago we dealt with the word world. There's no need anymore to be in ignorance. If you want to know answers, what I would recommend is that you download the program, free program, may I add, The Word, and go for it. Just fill your boots. Then get on our Facebook page and say, strike, I didn't realize, but that means this. And we'll all start chatting on the Facebook page and enjoy ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. This is the process of learning. Thank you very much for that question, Pastor Ted. We appreciate it. Keep the questions coming. And we'll talk to you again. And don't forget to give Pat a great big kiss from all of us.
We've got to go to the bathroom, so here's a long song.
And so it is that we must leave you, folks, but not before we say a huge thank you to all those gospel revolutionaries out there who make it possible to bring you this PowerCast each and every week. If you'd like to join them in increasing our coverage of the gospel of grace and peace, call our office at area code 352-569-4889 and speak to Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for the show, simply telephone us at 23456-4091. If you're calling from outside the United States of America, then the number is 1-23456-4091. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com, and you can catch us on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. And so it is good night from myself, Barris Bartlett, here in Music City, USA.
And it's goodbye from Michael Williams right here in the great city of Houston. And we want to thank again, as Barris said, everyone who is a part of this effort. We have a wonderful, wonderful part in being able to share this great gospel with this world. And we appreciate all of your all's participation.
all of y'alls.
You alls. You're in Nashville. I got to talk right.
Remember to join us up again next week, then same time, same channel, where we'll do the same thing all over again.
Way better.
Around here, Mildred?
Always. Oh, and it's so embarrassing.
No, I love it. It reminds me of home.
I am getting frustrated.
Well, I was hoping to add to your frustration by pointing it out, so I guess I'm accomplished my goal.